The book of James, chapter 2, we started at verse 14 last time. Now, you might pick that up, 14, 15, and 16, if you have your Bible open there. We'll wait a while till we get to it. James, number, chapter 2. We stopped at 14. We'll pick up 14 because it's sort of in a context. Let's read 14, 15, and 16 of James 2. Kind of verse 14 together. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, for he be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not things, those things which are needful to his body, what doth it profit? All right. So I think we can sum up that verse number 14. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. And if you have any trouble with the internet, please let us know. One of our people had trouble last Sunday afternoon, also last Thursday. We don't know whether it's just that one person's computer or whether it's something for the streaming. So please let us know. Summing that up, we decided last time, verse 14, what problem, if a brother says he has a faith, he says that if it had not worked, can faith save? In other words, can that type of a faith save him? Faith that has no fruit. That's what he said. Then beginning in verse 15, a brother or sister, what type of brother or sister would be used here? How could we understand that to be? Probably a fellow Christian. Either it's a man or woman, not brother or sister. Could be a Jewish one, converted. So
that's what
I'm saying. Yeah, could be a brother or sister, a Jewish name, but probably a brother or sister, maybe Jewish, then converted to Christ. Be naked. What does naked mean in Scripture?
Not dressed to
that. Maybe not dressed to that. What else?
To the underwear, yes.
Yes. Remember, Peter was in the ship and saw the Lord after the Bible resurrection. He threw himself into the water, but he was naked. That word for naked is gymnazo. It's the word gym, like gymnos, gymnazo. In other words, outer clothing off, just the lower, the under type of clothing, but not the outer tunics and all the other things. So, if a person is naked or without the proper clothing, destitute of daily food, what does destitute mean? Destitute.
Devoid completely
of something. Daily food. Right, so here's the situation. He has not enough outer clothing, he's naked, not enough daily food. So that's the situation he mentioned. Then in verse number 16, one of you, who that refers to? Probably the Jewish believers that come to Christ, those that, in my application, even believers today, we could apply it to. One of you say unto him, now here's just the same speaking. What do they say?
Go in peace.
Go in peace. Now, if you're naked as without the proper clothing to wear, and you're destitute of food, somebody just says, go in peace. Does that solve this clothing problem? Does that solve his food problem? No. Just go to the heart. Then be warmed and filled. There again, clothing and eating. Warmed, that is with the proper clothing. Filled, that's proper eating. Notwithstanding, what's that mean? Notwithstanding. What is it?
Nevertheless.
Probably nevertheless, something like that. You give them not those things which are needful to the body. What are those things that are needful to the body that he didn't give? Food and clothes. Food and clothes. See, it may have been very cold at that time, and so be warm. If it's cold outside, you have to have some coat, outside clothes to wear. Didn't give them needful to the body. Now, that's the person. Then the last question of that verse is what? What's the last question? What's the
profit?
Profit meaning what? What is the benefit? What's the benefit of that? In other words, is a person benefited if you just say with your mouth, go in peace? See, you don't give them it, it's not beneficial. So that's the question that is raised at that point. Let's read verse number 17. Oh, yes, fine.
Sometimes people, if you give them stuff, they just take themselves
and
don't drink.
That's true.
So that's why some people don't help.
Mm-hmm. What is the wiser thing if there's a question? Yeah, Dan.
This is a brother or sister.
Right.
Yes, okay.
It's a believer.
But someone that's a Christian, fellow Christian, that is struggling with something.
Okay.
Not only is it some stranger.
Suppose a stranger.
Not to say the stranger, if you give something to a stranger, they're not going to do that. But the context of James here is a believer, a fellow believer.
Probably a fellow believer. But what if a stranger did come? You don't know who he is or what he is. What have some people done rather than to give him $10 or $15 that he's requesting?
Go to
take him to Wendy's or McDonald's, someplace to eat, or the Chinese restaurant or Wawa, as some people go, and just feed him. That way you're sure some people who request money and you offer to feed them, some are probing, it's your normal profile. In other words, that's not what he wants. He's not interested in food. He's lying and trying to get the money out of you. But this is a brother or sister. You are, okay, let's go on and read verse number 17, 18, and 19. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me that faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Right, verse 17. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. What does that mean, dead? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, a question, comment, or just say hello. What does that mean, it's dead?
Nothing.
Pardon me?
It means nothing.
Means nothing, yeah. You ever said means nothing? Yeah, that's right. In other words, there's such a thing as dead faith. What would be the opposite of dead faith?
Living faith.
Yeah, Bill?
Well, I think that if you are truly saved and you truly trust Jesus Christ, good works will follow. Changes occur within you.
Uh-huh.
Those things happen, and sometimes it's surprising how they happen. But there is some good works that automatically follow. You don't have to make an effort in that direction. Mm-hmm. But as you think about it, there may be a few other things that you may want to volunteer to do on it. But it seems that good works are an indication of salvation.
Mm-hmm. In other words, when you plant a tree, apple tree, pear tree, peach tree, cherry tree, whatever the tree, and I'm going to plant a tree, after so many years, when that tree develops, what do we expect to find in those fruit trees? Fruit, whatever the fruit is. Whatever, whether it's peaches or apples or cherries or what. And so I think that's what he's getting at. In other words, genuine, if there's life in there, it's going to produce some fruit. If there's no life, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever heard anybody that says they have faith in Christ but they're still lost? Anybody ever tell you that? Oh, yeah, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, some, they call it lordship salvation.
Sometimes that is.
Yeah.
Some people, they just talk and they're not really in it. That faith is dead, being alone. In other words, the genuine faith should produce some kind of... In other words, when you have a corpse laid out in a funeral parlor, is there any life in that corpse?
No.
No, it's dead. Now, if you have a person that is asleep, not moving, is the person, any life in that person?
Yes.
Just because they're asleep? But are they living? What I mean?
They're living. They're just not aware.
Okay, this slug is here. Yes, hello, Anne-Marie from Canada.
Well, Pastor Ray, thanks for the Bible study today and the service this morning. And the internet, the live streaming worked very, very well. There was no problems at all today.
Good, good.
For me.
Thank you.
And as you're speaking there, I hope I touched on just where you're at. I hope I'm not going back or off track with you. But in Deuteronomy 19, chapter 24, verse 19, it goes, when thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. And then it mentions about the olive tree. When thou eatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Just reminding that through the Old Testament, and now James is reminding those people of the same thing. So, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Anne-Marie. Lord bless. Bye-bye. This wave is Canadian. Anne-Marie up there, Canada. Yes, in other words, the man who gives food and saves it for the fatherless and the widow, that's helping his faith in the Israelites' faith, but then produces works to give it to others in need. That's what she's doing. All right, so the dead faith, now, as I said before, a person that is sleeping, not moving, but is the person still alive?
Yes.
So not dead, but a person laid out in the funeral parlor that is dead, is there any life left in that person?
No.
So dead, now you can wake a person that has real life if they're sleeping, right? And then they can move around. So but the person is completely dead. So it talks about if without that work, it is dead and not work, not life. Now, faith without that work is dead, being alone. Then in verse 18, a man may say, thou hast faith. Now, the people sometimes say things that talk to us about problems and difficulties.
Yes.
They say different things. Give us illustrations. Thou hast faith, I have works. Now, the modernist liberals have many times works, good works. Unbelievers sometimes have works, am I right? Yeah, they have works, and sometimes the works, they say, by my works, I'm going to go to heaven. Sometimes you see people going to church, a dead church, no gospel, no truth. And some of them, I'm sure, feel that if they go to that church, even if it's dead, they're going to be saved, whether it's a Roman Catholic church, whether it's a Lutheran church, a Episcopal church, Baptist church. they have works. So man says, thou hast faith, I have works. Then what's the next thing? Show me thy faith without thy works. Is it possible? Show me thy faith without thy works. Is it possible?
No. The works show that you have faith.
All right.
Okay.
Certain works. In other words, don't show you.
There can be all sorts of different kinds of works.
Yes.
Depending on the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're...
If you didn't stand up for the truth, then you just let everything fall all over. Mm-hmm. And then you stand up for the truth, and the people that see you are going to wonder, why is she like that? And why does it matter? Mm-hmm. For instance, a person that defends the virgin birth of Christ to his friend, is that something that the friend wants to defend if he's unsaved?
No.
They wouldn't want to defend virtue. So a defense is a work. It's an outward manifestation. Something that you're talking about is defense of faith and truth. You know?
How would that be?
Pardon me?
How would that be a work?
Well, it would be defense of that which you believe. It's something people can see. You talk about what you believe.
That works meant doing things like, I don't do any works. I don't do anything.
That's one of the things, deeds, but that which comes out, which people can see. And sometimes when your mouth talks.
I can talk.
Well, if your defense things that the people don't agree with, that may be a work that's what you lead to believe, people believe you're a Christian believer. I understand. What kind of works are you thinking of that would show? Now, later on, we're going to get illustrated that Abraham, you know, he had some work, but. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Man say that, show me that faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Yvonne?
Well, I remember when we lived in East Side Parkway and we moved that great big huge house. And pastor's wife came over and she said, I'm going to fix your cupboards for you. And she paid for some of the old-fashioned house for the cupboards for the dishes. She made it just beautiful. I don't do anything like that. Once in a while, somebody will come. I don't think it was possible. Will come and they will clean the cupboards. They would do things. So I guess I need all the help I can get all the time. And Is that what the kind of good works? That's what I think good works are.
Well, that's one of the things,
Karen. Well, I think when you go communicating with people and you're trying to help them with their problems, you're definitely doing good work.
Yes.
I think sometimes we look at, we try and program, you know, sort of, oh, you're doing this, and it's all things that can be seen of other people. Well, there's a lot of times, a lot of things that aren't seen by more than, maybe it's just one person that you're ministering to. But each of those people can testify.
Like when Tammy came over and she cleaned my rug, she vacuumed the rug the other day, and she found this gum all over that somebody in church had left on the floor, a nice rug. But that was a good work. I appreciate that. I mean, I didn't go around broadcasting a whole lot. I mean, that was helpful. But that was a good work.
Okay.
You know, she used the word broadcasting.
We're broadcasting now.
No.
I'm telling you now. But I mean, to me, that's a good work, and that's what I don't do.
Let me ask you this. Cannot what we say be also a work?
I guess so.
Something can be seen and heard. Yeah.
Well, it's not all about physical things. I mean, we can help people physically, but I think what is most helpful is when we help them spiritually, and we don't do that, right? You know, pushing furniture around. I mean, almost oftentimes when we share something from our lives or something from the scripture, and
we probably have the Catholic idea of what works.
Yes.
Let
me ask you, Dick.
Well, I think a good example, these Jews were still in the under the law and kingdom gospel, and our Lord said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so a person can come up and say, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I believe he's the Messiah, I believe all of this, but he doesn't love his neighbor as himself. So it's not complete. In other words, without the works of loving his neighbor, his faith is in vain. I think that's what James is trying to say.
Well, that's possible, but Dick, I think these Christians, after the Pentecost, day of Pentecost, they're under the day of grace, and I would hope that they would be under the picture of grace, and because they were former Jews, it doesn't mean they're under the law of Moses.
Excuse me, I'm not arguing, but I just want...
What are you doing?
I want to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
How do you know that the Jews that James is writing to were after the Pentecost, after that period?
Because the date of James is 60 A.D., and Pentecost is much more earlier than that, and this is what I'm saying. This is a book that's written the same time that Paul wrote the Galatians and Romans and all these other books. They knew that thing. They knew the age of grace. They're under the age of grace. And just because they were former Jews doesn't mean they're still under the law of Moses. That's my recollection. So, anyway,
can I compare that, or maybe say contrast, with Paul's gospel in Galatians, as you well know, we all well know, Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, and he lists all the works of the flesh, and then he goes follow that up, of course, with the works through the Spirit, and I think that's our day of grace answer to what James is talking about.
Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is what is important. Now, for example,
I mean, you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sin. But yet, if you manifest these works here that are works of the flesh, your faith means nothing.
Yes.
Your faith means nothing without these works. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, that's true. Now, it is true that every believer has the flesh. And if we're out of fellowship with the Lord, we can produce the works of the flesh. We're going to just repent of that and go back to the walk in the Spirit. So we were lost, but...
So he said, so they're saying then that you're talking to the same way that James is talking to his people when you say that. You're talking to Christians that are not measuring up to the fruits of the Spirit, the same way James is talking to his people about having faith with the
Lord. I think that's true. Now, for instance, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the great, so-called Great Commission in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is that Great Commission not a work? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? That's fruit. That's work. And when we try to lead somebody to Christ, isn't that a work? Believe it right. This is what we believe.
Okay.
See, it's not simply faith in here, but talking to people and defending what you believe. The deity of Christ, the body of the resurrection, that's a work, not simply you know, helping a person, giving some money for food or putting clothes on his house. So I think he's dead faith without any semblance of following the scriptures and the word of God. I believe it's being dead. So show me my faith without thy works. I will show thy faith by my works. Yes, Mom?
I have to finish this thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give, I want to give credit. Like when we had all those people eating here and the kitchen got all messed up,
mm-hmm.
and the floor was absolutely filthy in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and Henry said, I'm coming back and washing the floor for you. To me, that's a good work.
Yes.
And I don't do things like that. I would be silly. It's not my gift, washing the floor. And then Mamie, even though I didn't quite understand what Mamie was all about, she came in here and she cleaned this room from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And she did my refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me that's good works, but I can talk and I tell people about the Lord and I do things, but is that what he's talking about?
Well, show me that faith. The way you show me faith is when we talk about it and defend it, that shows our faith. Why would we defend something we don't believe in it?
Yeah,
and everybody else denies it. That talking is a part of external things that we do and talk about it. So I realize normally I think of good works is
I think I have a mix up with the Catholics' good works. Because they say, I try to do good things. That's what they say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Henry.
Hello, Pastor Wade. I'm just wondering, in Romans chapter 12, Mrs. Luke just mentioned about having gifts. And gifts that we have in proportion to faith, it's listed some of the things that we can do. It's in Romans 12, starting at verse 6. Having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or your preaching, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And then God, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that you rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so it goes on. So could that be our faith to be shown according to the personal faith we have and gifts that God gives each one of us as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, I think that's good. Thank you very much, Emily. Four of us.
Okay,
good
bye.
Yeah, I think that's good. All these things is the result of our faith as we do certain things for the Lord and defend things of the Lord. Certainly an unbeliever would never defend the deity of Christ or his bodily resurrection. See, so it's a fruit of that which we have genuine faith. And if a person says he has faith or she has faith and doesn't believe anything in the Bible, there's no fruit, there's no life that goes with it. That's what I think they say.
Aren't there places in the new versions where it speaks of faith but leaves out in Christ or
yes.
whatever it is in
yes.
the King James?
Yes, that's right. Like in Philippians 4:13, I can roll things through Christ is left out.
Yeah.
With strength and deceit. You're right.
Yeah.
And in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, but not of Christ. Christ is left out.
Does it say, through him who strengtheneth me? Through him, don't they say through him?
Yeah, instead of Christ. That's right. In Romans 1:16, yes, right. Through him, it's saying, or the one that's saying,
is that
right? In Romans 1:16, the gospel.
Four.
But in Philippians 4:13,
yeah.
The one that strengthens me, or he who strengthens me,
right.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the one, which is a charismatic or Gnostic one.
Mm-hmm.
So these are true, but some of these new verses, we take that out. So, the works, I think, by the works. Now, did we read 19 yet?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah, we did. thou believest there's one God. Now, people say that. Do the Muslims say they believe in one God?
Yes.
Yes. Do the Jews say they believe in one God?
Yes.
Yes. And some Christians, even any churches use it, one God. Thou doest well. What is the illustration after the end of that verse 19?
The devil's also
believing. The devil and trembled. Now, what type of belief does the devil have? Oh, sure, go ahead, Henry. I mean, Miss Tammy, sure.
Dear Pastor Wade, hello and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for today's Bible study. From Joe in Norman, Fossio.
Joe Norman, California. Wade is Joe Norman. Thank you, Joe Norman. Appreciate your notified calling. What does that mean, the devil's type of faith? They say, we believe. What did the devils do when they were inside of people, Lord Jesus was here on earth? Remember any of the devils?
Yes.
Crazy.
What?
They do stupid things.
Yeah, they do stupid things. That's true.
Throw the fire.
Yeah. Throw the fire.
I remember the devils, the demons. They said, don't just set us loose, put us in something. And Jesus took them in the pigs.
Put them in the pigs. The swine fell in the river.
They
didn't
want to be in the mob.
So, in other words, what type of faith is this? The devils believe. Remember, it says, can that faith save him? It's up in verse 14. Can that faith? What is this? Is the devil faith the same as faith that will save? Yeah, Hannah. And then Dan.
Well, he doesn't have saving faith. I mean, he's not stupid. He knows there's a God. He fears God, but he doesn't. He turned away from God, and even though he knew there was a God and that God was the ultimate authority, he thought he could try his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the same faith. So today there are people who, while they may not admit it, they know there is a God. They know, deep down they know what is right, that there is a God, but they choose not to seek him out. They choose to lie to themselves and see themselves and say that there's no God. Almost act like atheists, although certainly believe so.
Here's a fragment of email. The whole message didn't come through, but it says, Pastor, is there a different word for divine good versus human good? That's all we have. And like I said, it's fragmented. So
you don't know who it's from.
It got sent before it was completed, but they finished it.
Okay, if someone could finish that.
But he wants to know the difference between divine good versus human good.
Divine good and human good. Anybody got an answer to that one? Yeah, Bill?
Human good is this new age good that people are talking about, that George Bush said when he was president, and the Pope that recently retired, and he got together at the Vatican with members of other world religions, pagan religions, many of them, they all celebrated the same God. Their idea of God is a God created in the minds of people and their emotions.
Anything else on divine good versus human good? What is the definition, proper definition, of good from the standpoint of the Bible and God?
There's none good but God.
All right, where do you find good? In the scripture. Got to be in the scripture. But what do the human people consider good? What is their standard?
Conscience, different standards.
In other words, if it feels good, do it. That's what they say. And that's why we got so many people to think that adultery is fine, and homosexuality is fine, lesbianism is fine, all these different sins are fine. Dope drinking, stealing, and thievery is fine. Think about these people whose houses have burned down, these big fires that probably have been set, steal the people blind out of there. They think it's fine. That's wonderful.
It's all humanist conscience. And according to that, there is no punishment. You can be a homosexual, you can be a pedophile, you can anything that you believe in your heart and is right, and there's no condemnation in their minds for it.
What's your scripture? Do you have that, Hannah?
Getting back to the original question, I believe the original question had to do with the Greek, and if in the Greek a different word is used for divine good versus the word that was used for human, are there two different words or the same word?
Well, I think the word for good is the same word. I don't know that there's kalos and there's agathos. Agathos is a higher level. Kalos is just human well-being and good. But I think that what he's trying to say is what the standards of divine and what the standards of human, what they say good. See? In other words, does the unsaved people, when they say good works, do they mean the same as Ephesians 2:10, was called unto good works and started before the day in which we're in? It's the difference. See, they're completely different. I think that's what the question was getting at, if I'm not mistaken. We're not talking about the devils believe and tremble. Is their concept of faith? Are they saved because they believe?
No.
But faith is one of the saves, but it's got to be genuine faith.
Saving faith.
Saving faith.
Not just
in the thoughts. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Faith isn't just believing. It's also a matter of giving, trusting in the Lord that He will deliver you. Once you die, you have no ability to do anything at all anymore. You're entirely dependent on the Lord to deliver you. So you have to let go of yourself. You have to let go of any ideas that you have that you can do something, which you have absolutely no power at all. Only the Lord can do that.
Yes, when you're dead, if you're saved and born again, your spirit and soul go directly to the Lord. You're in His care and His hands.
Mm-hmm.
The body's just laid out, and that's it.
Yes.
Any other questions on this? The devils also believe and tremble. Why do the devils tremble? What do they know?
They know their time is short.
The time is short, they will be judged. Where is their destiny?
Lake
of fire. And you remember, why was the lake of fire created?
The devil
and his angels. It says in Matthew, doesn't forget the exact chapter and verse, it was a place created for the devil and his angels. So the devils believe, but they have a different kind of belief than what is proper. If we finish that 17, that's where we ended it. Let's read 18, 19, and 20 together. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Oh, we've already read that. Oh, I'm sorry. What should we go?
20, 21.
Okay, let's start with 20. I'm sorry. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? For it's not Abraham our father sanctified by works, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works the faith made perfect? All right, so 20. Wilt thou, vain man, vain meaning?
Empty.
That's a vain man. Faith without works is dead. That's up there in verse 17 as well, isn't it? And again, what does it mean, dead? No life, no genuineness, spiritual dead, empty. And then the illustration in verse 21 of Abraham. Our father, in what sense was Abraham their father?
Well,
in the faith, there was a Jewish tradition, and that was the father of Abraham, and even saved people.
Seed
of Christ through Abraham, and even believers, we have Abraham as our father, those that are saved, born again. Not that we're Jews, but remember it says it as a place that Abraham was the father even of Gentiles that are saved as well. Justified by works. What does justified mean? Declared righteous, made righteous by works. What was Abraham told to do by the Lord? Okay, I'll promise on first of all.
Especially
the Ur of Chaldees. Well, that was another thing. He left the Ur of Chaldees for the moment. But what did God tell Abraham to do to his son Isaac? Okay, first he had to go where? But did he tell him ahead of time?
No.
But go to a place that I will show you. So he went. Finally came to the mountain. And,
who do you mean did they tell Abraham?
Did God tell Abraham exactly the place, or did he?
So he led him there.
He led him there and he went out. So when they got to the mouth, What question did Isaac the son ask of his father?
Where is the lamb?
He said there, what things did he see right there?
Fire.
Fire. The wood. So where is the lamb? What did Abraham reply?
God will provide himself.
God will provide himself a lamb. Either for himself, for himself, as a substitute, either way, that is understood. So that was the thing that, then Abraham went to the mountain with Isaac. What did Abraham say to the fellows, the helpers, the elders that went with him to the foot of the mountain?
We shall return.
They said, I will go and we will return.
Right.
Now what did God tell Abraham to do that mountain?
Sacrifice,
kill him. Now if Abraham said, we will return, what does that mean?
Believe that God
was
able to raise him from the dead.
Able to raise him from the dead.
He took him out of his promise.
He was the son of promise. But I see that as far as heaven, as the sand of the seashore, and he believed if necessary, God would do it. He believed God. And he went up, he said, even if he killed him, we will come again. So when he helped us out of the mount, what did Abraham do to Isaac?
Tied him up.
Okay, on the altar, tied him up. And what did he do in his, what was in his hand?
Knife.
A knife. What did he do with the hands?
Abraham.
Then what did God say?
Abraham.
What else? Do thy son no harm? Something like that. And what did Abraham find in the thicket?
He looked at a lamb, goat.
There's a ram. Was it a ram? There was a male lamb. Was it a ram? Caught in the thicket.
Right.
What did he do with that ram?
Offered
in the stead of Isaac. What does instead mean?
Place.
In place of. What does Hebrews 11 say about that sacrifice?
By faith, Abraham.
Offer up his son. And in a figure, raise him up. In a figure. Remember it says in a figure, Hebrews 11. So as far as God was concerned, it's good that he did the job. His faith was accompanied by works. Now that was really tremendous faith, wasn't it?
Yes.
First of all, to believe that he's going to have a son. Well, how did that happen? Did Sarah have a son immediately?
No.
No, so he had to...
He didn't believe. The problem, he didn't believe.
He didn't believe in the son, but finally, God performed a miracle, and Abraham and Sarah had the son Isaac.
He had Ishmael.
Yeah, Ishmael, which was an offshoot and was not proper. But anyway, so faith was brought by works. So Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Now, this word offered Isaac, what does that mean? As far as the Bible is concerned, what happened to Isaac?
He was slain.
He was slain, he was offered. Hebrews says it, and James says it. Yvonne?
Well, I always think here of Sarah. She must have watched them go on. She saw him get the wood, she saw him get
the
fire.
The mother Sarah.
And she saw Isaac. Probably had to help him walk. Maybe not making that up.
No, well, he was old. He was 12, 14 years old, wasn't he?
No, I mean, had to help Abraham walk.
Oh, Abraham walked, too.
Yeah, if they walked up, and he watched them, and Sarah probably thought, what is he doing now? What's he going to do? He's afraid.
Did Abraham tell Sarah what he's going to do, you think?
I don't know.
You don't know. That's not
possible. She probably wouldn't let him go.
Maybe. Sometimes husbands have to obey the Lord rather than their wives.
Right.
In this case, Abraham should have believed his wife and had Hagar. That was the wrong step before. Wasn't it? So he was justified by his word. In other words, you could see in Abraham his faith that God had promised to give Isaac his son children, stars of heaven, sand of the seashore. And that faith was shown by what he did. He went up and he offered his son, believing God that it would happen even if he had to raise him from the dead, which he did raise him in the figure, as it says in Hebrews 11, right? So in Abraham believed in God, then in verse 23, scripture is fulfilled, which said, what?
Abraham
believed God. Did we read that 23 yet?
No.
No, we haven't read that. Okay, we read it. Now, what is this? In verse 22 it says, his works, by works, was faith made perfect. What does that mean? By his work was faith made perfect. What sense of perfect?
Operating.
Complete.
Operative, complete. What else? Mature, understandable. Explicable, so everybody could see it. Visible.
Display.
Yeah.
Yeah. Works.
Yes, display. So everybody could see it.
Verse 18.
18. Mm-hmm. So his make perfect or complete or mature, it was mature faith. Now, has God ever told you to do something that was contrary to reason? Yes, I think he's told on there. Think about this.
What do you mean?
Well, anything that's contrary to reason.
I don't know. I can't remember. I
live too long to know. If he's given to you something that is contrary to reason, whatever it is, and you do it, that's a great faith for what God told you to do. So. And so, God has told us the Bible is to be defended. The Bible is true, God's words. And if we believe it, have faith, we've defended something that we manifest to do, and we believe that. But when I determined to go to seminary, for example, Dallas and Apple Seminary, when I was just graduated from college as a young man, I was only, I guess, 20. I went 17 to 23 years and 4 years and three. I went summer and winter, and the dad prepared the tuition and everything else. I worked hard, and did a lot of work. I wanted to marry Mrs. Lee. And so I didn't want to wait 4 years, I want to do it in three. So that's fine. Anyway, be that as it may. My dad, when he heard that I wanted to go to seminary, he had in mind, he wanted me to go to his school, University of Michigan, where he graduated, chemical engineering degree, well-to-do man, good position in Cleveland, Ohio. And he thought his son would be following his step. I've told you many times that he used the expression from pennies to peanuts in one generation. From pennies to peanuts in one generation. He was upset at that. After a while, he got with the program. Probably my mom said, "Hubby, you just let him off." Your mom was a woman of faith. So Dad got in line and he helped us and he agreed with us and gave us a 26-foot house trailer to sleep in, to stay in, while I was down in Dallas for 5 years after. Anyway, the other thing, I had faith the Lord had called me to train. I didn't know what he was going to train me for. I didn't know where I was going to end up. But that was when I just felt a month and I was compelled to do that. So anyway, but when you do something that's contrary to other people's beliefs, that exemplifies that you have a faith of what God wants you to do. That's all I'm saying. A lot of things in Scripture God wants us to do, and people are, "What are you doing that for? Why are you reading your Bible?" Well, anything that's silly to people's reasoning. Who wants to read the Bible? That little niece of Kathy Wu reads her Bible 85 verses a day. She's read that thing three times through, she told me, there at the Tammy and Dan's dinner. So, the faith was made perfect by the work, what he did. Have we read 23 yet? We haven't read it, have we?
No.
So as we point 3 to the end, let's get this sum up there. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled. What scripture was that? What book? What book was it? Genesis, wasn't it? Was it Genesis? Genesis, maybe 15, yes. Abraham believed that. And it was imputed. What does imputed mean?
Credit
to the account. Just like put on your side of the ledger. In other words, like the reds and the blacks, the bookkeeping. The reds are your expenses and your debts, and the blacks are what you got in the money. And it's imputed, it's reckoned, put on the proper ledger to your account. You've got the money. It's $1 million, whatever. It's imputed. Reckoned to your account. What it means that it was imputed unto him for what?
Righteousness.
What was it that was imputed in righteousness? What was it that was imputed?
That he was
No, but what was it that was imputed? It's faith. He believed God, and it was imputed. He had faith in what the Lord promised him, and was imputed right to his charge for righteousness. How does God impute righteousness to people on this earth today? Does he still impute righteousness?
Through the Lord
Jesus Christ. What
is
it? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it?
Romans 4:3. Where Paul is talking about Abraham, and if I can find it, Romans 4:3, and Paul says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then he goes on to say, to him that worketh is the reward, brethren, of grace, and not of debt, but to him that worketh not. So Paul is emphasizing here faith, and he doesn't mention works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say this, see if I'm wrong. I believe that there's no difference, in a sense, there's no difference. Faith, we are saved today by faith plus works. We were saved in James' day by faith plus works. The difference is, in James' book, we're saved by faith plus our works. Whereas today, in the day of grace, we are saved by works too, but not our works. We're saved by the works of our Lord Jesus Christ in shedding his redemptive blood.
Mm-hmm. His work, not ours.
His work, not ours.
So that's one way of phrasing it for you.
See, it says, Rahab was justified by works. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We have the body and the spirit necessary to go with each other. So it's faith and works, they go with each other. If the body and our spirit, we go with each other. If we don't have a spirit anymore, then our body's dead. So I think the feet to the faith would be works.
Right,
that indicates that there is faith. In fact, there's works. And we want to have it for the spirit or some other things, but that's the evidence of the faith.
And the question I think I raised originally was this. Is righteousness imputed to anybody today, and if so, how?
By the Lord Jesus Christ.
By the Lord Jesus Christ alone? We must trust and work on the cross, receive him as our Savior, and once we receive him as Savior and are saved, his righteousness is imputed unto us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God has made him to be sin for us, from no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
I go on with Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Mm-hmm. So
that's under grace.
That's right. The under grace, faith alone saves, and really in James 2, faith alone saves, but the people that see that faith, there has to be a little bit of efforts or works, in other words, to see the fruit of that faith. That's what he's getting at. That's why Martin Luther said James is a strawy epistle, a right strawy epistle, because he was contradicting. He thought it was a contradiction between Paul and Romans and the book of James. I don't see a contradiction. I see in the book of Romans and Paul justification before God, but anywhere, whatever. In James, justification before people. You have the faith, but they've got to see your faith by what you do in the works. So I see no problem, no contradiction. I think it's a commentary.
When a woman says she loves her husband, everything she does shows she loves her husband. So she does things for him, she has his children, she takes care of his house, she does things. And a woman who doesn't love her husband, she ignores him, has nothing to do with him, runs off with other people. So when she loves her husband, her work shows she loves her husband.
Yes.
Just like when a mother loves a baby. There are some mothers that don't want their babies, and they give them away. They leave them.
Kill them, abortion, yes.
And other mothers will do everything they can to take care of that baby, because that's her love is shown by her works.
Yes.
And I think that's what maybe James means. Love for the Lord is shown by what we do.
Mm-hmm. Is faith visible or invisible?
It is invisible.
Except to God. But our works, visible or invisible?
Our works show our faith.
They're visible. So here you got visible and invisible kind of work together so you can get a product.
But Paul is right. It's by grace.
Absolutely, Paul's right.
And that
faith, not faith, and works at all, our own works, but
workmanship.
But what did Lord Jesus answer in the question, what must we do to work the works of God? What did Lord Jesus respond to that?
The work of God is to believe on Him.
This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent.
Right.
That's what to do the works of God, believe. Adam's got that.
Well, sometimes mothers love their children, but they're too young. The mothers may be too young, or there may be some reason the mothers can't take care of them. And they may want to provide a loving home for their children, but they realize that they can't. So as much as it pains them, they do what is best for their child and seek out another family for their child.
Sometimes that's the case.
They adopt. And that's a way of showing love for us, perhaps, instead of for the child.
Yes. If a little boy named Dan or Dick or Tom or Dave or anybody else, or a little girl named Diane, if they in our house were little children, went off to Park Avenue there, just trotting along, little babies, you know, young, just walking along, and Dan and Mom saw them out there at Park Avenue with cars whizzing by, mile a minute, and I snatched that baby, whatever it is, just snatched them up like that. Did that child think I was loving them to snatch them up and ripping the shoulders back? Would they think it was a love tap?
What about when you weren't the one who picked them up?
If a neighbor
had swooped them up.
Well, then the neighbor would the child put my saying swooped
unless,
them up because a car was coming to kill
the child didn't know why he's being swooped up.
The child doesn't know. What I'm saying
that's
is
from Dan, evidently.
I didn't mention who was.
His big brothers were supposed to be watching him. And all of us weren't, none of us were watching him. And then the lady down the street, this is a cat. She came in with my baby. And she said, Mrs. Wade, I found your baby in the middle of the street.
Now, the point of my illustration is, if you grab hastily and
she grabbed him out.
I know if a father or mother, anybody, grabs a child out of the street because they don't want to be killed, because the child may not think that's an act of love, but is that an act of love?
Yeah.
Yes, we don't want our children to be killed. We love them. Yes, Anna.
Well, even an adult person, if they're standing in the path and they don't see the car coming, if somebody runs towards them and pushes them out of the way, they might initially wonder what's going on, but then they look and see the car and then they're grateful.
Yes.
So, I mean, the kids could see the car eventually and figure out what's going on.
Yes, right. So this is another illustration, something invisible, love, that's acted out in something visible. Snatching somebody from harm. Visible, invisible. Yeah,
what? That's exactly what Jesus did. He so loved the world, and He visibly died on the cross. He showed His love and gave His life. That was the showing of His love.
Yes, it was.
Caroline has
that. Oh, Caroline, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can go and say, I went one time into a grocery store, and I saw a child in a shopping cart and was trying to stop it, and the mother came along and said, get your hands off my child, and wouldn't let it touch the child at all. And yet you were trying to tell the mother, I'm preventing it from falling out of the shopping cart, but they wouldn't let, they're like that.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
Now, another verse on this, visible and invisible, is this. Whom the Lord loveth,
mm-hmm.
He what?
Chastens.
Loveth, visible or invisible?
Invisible.
Chastenment?
Visible.
See, just because there's something visible doesn't mean that there's not love behind. See, there's a purpose for God's chastenment, so we may be a better son or daughter for Him. I'm going to stop right here at this verse, but any other comments or questions before we go? Yeah, Mom?
Can we finish with questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
This has nothing to do with it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. We can't get through this today without my doing this.
No, of course not.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Then we'll just hear it.
We wish a happy birthday to our Christian friends. And may our Heavenly Father His kindest blessings to him. A happy, happy birthday, all beautiful with love, and bright with many blessings from God, our friend above.
And a happy return on the day of that birth. And sunshine and gladness be given. And may our dear Father prepare thee on earth for a wonderful birthday in heaven. Just picking up the baby. God bless you. Let's sing for you.
Yes.
Dick, while you're leading us on a happy birthday song. Here's your key. Let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we do thank you. We can discuss these verses and scriptures in the book of James. Thank you for Tammy and the birthday and Dan and the family and all those that are here that take a part. And may she have long life and continued health and strength. She may continue to serve thee in all that she does and as she follows in her life. And help us with our church ministry. Each one of us are gathered here. Help us to live for our Savior. Faith worked out by what we do, what we say, how we defend our Savior with all that's within us. Keep us strong for thee. To bring us back safely and to prayer service and continue to bless us this day, we pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Thank you for coming.